Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, you turned your camera off, Connie. Okay. All right. So, welcome to Hey Ann, Kathy, and Ken, and Cheryl. And all you millions of radio listeners,
Hello, real land.
we are here for. So, Cheryl, do you have a song ready? Maybe you'll give us a minute for these technical difficulties. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that would be helpful. Okay, thank you. I'm going to let go of the mic.
Star, Sukino, vattu loka samasta sukino vattu loka samasta sukino vattu. And we shine like diamonds in the sun. Every one of us, every one of us shines. We shine like diamonds in the sun. Every one of us. And we shine like diamonds in the sun. Every one of us, every one of us shines. We shine like diamonds in the sun. Every one of us, every one of us shines.
Thank you, Cheryl. So here we are again. So let's just let's start reading and see what happens. How about?
Okay.
Okay. Good deal. I assume you can round two. I assume you can hear both me and Connie. Connie, speak.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Love thyself. To know thyself. And that's self with a capital S, I might note. Love thyself. To know thyself, you must be willing to love thyself. But to love thyself is not to love the personhood, nor is it to reject the personhood. For nothing within God can reject. And you guys, I just want to apologize, but okay, I lost Connie and she's back. So it's black and Connie, there you are. All right. And we were just talking about this actually, about this idea that, you know, that we've been discussing in terms of Jeff Foster's teachings lately, and the idea that really, to try and reject anything is to kind of miss the point, because everything is allowed within consciousness, right?
Yeah, because God didn't know anything about rejection.
Right. Right. To love thyself is to love all things and all circumstances, because you know all things and all circumstances come into being through God, which is all that is. Be grateful for the process that is God. In this way, you come to know within awareness that which is God, and you come to accept and love thyself. this certainly seems on point. I appreciate the fact that this is talking about the fact that God is a process. It's the creative process, right? The process that we are. Regina's been talking to us about that lately.
Yeah, and it feels like it's fabric too.
Explain, please.
You know, like everything's a part of the fabric.
Yeah, like
and how could you reject part of the fabric?
Yeah. You waiting for me to read some more?
Yeah.
All right, I will. To train yourself in godliness. To train yourself in godliness. Be willing to rest the mind frequently. Be willing to step back and observe while remembering all that I have taught you. Remember that all circumstances come to you for your awakening, because you are the creative process that is God, and awakening is the purpose you have chosen.
Well, that's a pretty powerful paragraph, isn't it?
It is. Funny, I feel like I'm missing something here. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. So maybe you should be reading. Commenting. It just seems like there's something in here that it just seems like there's something deeper in here that I'm it's not coming through. It's interesting how well this matches up with exactly what's being taught, you know, that we are that creative process, and that it's brought up so that we can see what we continue to believe, right? That the thoughts that we've believed in the past are what we're seeing now in the present. And that by recognizing that and recognizing the creative process, we are propelled forward on our path of awakening. I mean, I think that's what Regina's been talking about in the gentle healing lessons.
Yeah, and remembering that all your circumstances come to you for awakening, that there, you know, there are no accidents. That's we're going to remember home, and when we do, that all is well. So.
Look at your circumstances and remember your purpose while remembering who you are. That's the rest part, right?
Yep.
Place your faith with your motive as you look. In this way, you will be grateful for all things and all circumstances because you see them in the light of purpose.
There you go. Yeah, let everything be about my spiritual unfoldment because it is.
Because it is, yeah. In this way you shall always rejoice because you know there is no cause that can lead you away from rejoicing. Yeah, and
now that's a big one.
That is a big one. And it is a big one because if you're confused about your purpose or your motive, you might think when you don't get your way, when you don't get the job that you want, when you don't get the house that you want, when you got more bills than you can pay, that these are bad things. but it was, I was just telling Connie about this, so I guess I'm going to talk about it. Ann and I were talking this morning about today's reading, and she was saying that she made a list of those thoughts that she still believed. And I said, wow, that's really good. Of course, Anne, I will tell you, I didn't make my own list, but I thought it was great that you did it. But I did sit there for a moment afterwards and thought about, you know, what is it that I'm still believing? And one of the things that I'm still believing is you know, I need for all my house issues to be settled in order to, I don't know, not be happy, but at least feel settled, right? Because that stuff still seems kind of up in the air. And for some reason, I don't even know how it popped up. I don't know what I was looking at on YouTube, but then it popped up this woman to have some peace of mind, yeah. Peace, yeah. And so anyway, so up pops this woman happily living in her car. So I watched that video, and then there was another one about well, a year later, this same woman had moved up to living in a cargo trailer attached to her car. And then I watched one about a woman living in one of those what do they call them when they go on the pickup trucks? You know, they just slide in the bed, right? A woman, hers was really cute. She had good decorating sense. But it was really funny because these things came out, and these people were happy. And the first woman had decided to do it because of her circumstances. The second woman just said she had to move yet again, and she thought, I am not going to move this furniture anymore. In fact, I think I'm done with this furniture altogether. And that's the one that built that bought the camper, you know, the truck bed camper. So they were doing it both willingly and not willingly, but they seemed perfectly happy. So I guess it's not true that I need a house, this one or any other, in order to be happy. But certainly, if I'm looking at any of those, you know, whether I need my son to call me once a month, or whether I need to have enough money to, whatever, I don't know, eat out twice a week. If I think that is where my happiness lies, then I can be real confused about what's going on. But Connie, there's a lot of feedback right now. Now, do you know what that is? It's going.
It might be my phone or my computer changing. I've got the task manager up finally.
Oh, you got the task manager up?
Well, I clicked on it and it went back to the regular screen, so I don't. Oh, there it is.
Okay. Do you want me to
Sorry.
tell you what to do with your task manager? You need to find Messenger in your task manager.
Spinning on it.
All right, forget it. Gosh. So at any rate, so the point of all of this is that I need Connie's computer to work in order to be happy. Yeah, and Anne says it fits with the thought of awakening. Let me grab that, Anne. Yeah, Connie, again, a lot of statics coming through.
Well, I can shut the computer down if you'd rather. I did.
Well, do you have your phone sitting on the computer or something like that?
No, but I'm sitting close to it.
All right.
I'll move away.
I don't care. The thought of awakening says forgiveness is letting go of ideas that are not true. It's the opposite of clinging to them. It's being willing to see that there is another way to see. It is being willing to be wrong about the idea that is causing pain. So I guess in my little my tiny house, my camper example, you know, the idea that's causing pain is that really that I need things to be this, you know, I need that house in Kentucky to sell. I need to, you know, have it done before they foreclose on it so that I can, you know, so that I can get a mortgage on this house. You know, just I need things to be, and the idea that they might not be that way is what causes pain, you know, the anxiety, the stress. And I'm not, you know, I'm not in a lot of pain here. But certainly there's a strong preference, and to the extent that I believe that I need the object of my preference, and that it's possible that that might not be the result, to that extent it causes pain. I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. I don't know that I've said much at all here. It's just interesting to It was interesting. The immediate rejoinder from Spirit with the woman living in her car was pretty funny, actually. You don't need a house. Look at this woman. So let's just look at that paragraph again. Look at your circumstances and remember your purpose while remembering who you are. And God's honest truth, if you remember who you are, you remember you don't need anything. You know, you don't need, and that goes right along with that idea of rejection, right? You don't need to reject anything. There are no conditions for experiencing the truth of your being. And I'm looking at you like that, kind of because you still got that real fuzzy, lots of static. Isn't that funny?
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to just shut the computer down.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Maybe I'll turn off the air conditioner. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it's the air conditioner we're hearing.
Is that better?
Yeah,
no?
I think so. Yeah, I think that was it.
Okay.
Is it warm in there?
No, it's fine.
Let's see. Cheryl says, no set of circumstances should find your happiness, joy, level of peace, etc. One of the greatest gifts I got is things are not happening to me, they're happening for me, for my highest good. That was a huge shift to acceptance. And my highest good is always the realization that I am not who I think I am, right? That I am not this what they call it a while ago, personal self. Let's see, the personhood. I am not the person, and it's only the person hood, the mind body that seems subject to outer circumstances, because the truth is, once you transcend or drop below or recognize or, you know, are not distracted by these thoughts of the mind that tell you what it is that you need to have in order to be happy, what you find in the absence of the of those thoughts is causeless joy. I mean, it's under there if you dig deep enough. I mean, Anne says, which ties back to the tips and NTI readings on the creative principle. And what we give our believing attention to. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the substratum, right? Beneath or beyond or behind all of the other busyness, all of the things that we think we need, all the worry, all the thoughts, really, the substratum is causeless joy.
Yeah, so it says there is no cause that can lead you away from rejoicing.
Yes. Yes. Look at your circumstances and remember your purpose while remembering who you are. Place your faith with your motive as you look. In this way, you will be grateful for all things and all circumstances because you see them in the light of purpose. In this way, you shall always rejoice because you know there is no cause that can lead you away from rejoicing. Yeah, what you're giving, you're believing attention to. This is a trustworthy saying. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. All things work together for God, and the purpose of God is to know thyself. Therefore, love thyself in all ways, in all circumstances, and you accept the gratitude that is in alignment with purpose. And you know, I got to tell you that there are some weeks when I feel that way and some weeks when I don't. Or days, or you know, hours or minutes or whatever it is. But when I'm in conscious recognition of my willingness to just watch it all unfold, and with that willingness comes that joy, that gratitude for everything. Yeah. Anne has her hand up. I'm sorry, I did not get. Thank you very much. Anne, please take the mic.
Oh gosh, that was a couple points ago, but I think my point, which you keep making, and I guess apparently I'm going to make again, is like this tip, this thought of awakening. To get, you know, forgiveness is letting go of the ideas that aren't true. It's the opposite of clinging to them. So the first thing I have to do is figure out what are the ideas that aren't true. And once I see them, I have to see that it's being willing to see that there's another way to see. And it's being willing to be wrong that they're giving me pain. So I make this whole list of the things that I think aren't true, get a little spaciousness, and you know, and I see it's not about any of those things. It's the typical list. I should be doing X, Y, and Z, and I should be having this done and making this person happy. And it's all things looking outward in the world. It's all a checklist that even if I checked everything off, the ego would come up with another list, or you know, the house wouldn't stay clean long, or the dinner would only be that night, or, you know, whatever it would be. So then that seems to me to bring us right back to the tips and the teachings for this week about that prayer is basically what we're giving our attention to. And even if these ideas aren't true, and even if it's my regular, you know, it's the regular suspect list, I'm still giving my attention to it. And so in that sense, I am giving my believing attention to it. It's my prayer. I'm sending it out, and it's going to come right back, and it's going to keep coming back. And what's going to keep coming back is the pain and the dissatisfaction and the wondering why I don't feel more connected. And I think the whole point here was summed up in the paragraph above, was that if you place your faith with your motive, you know, as you look, you'll be grateful for all things in all circumstances, which comes back to that Jeff Foster teaching. If we could really allow all, if we could really sit in our purpose, and then from purpose, like it is being willing to see that there is another way to see from the thought of awakening, which I think means ground in our purpose, come into our heart, and now look out from our purpose and see that my regular list of things that I give myself a hard time about are there to remind me that's not who I am. That's not what's going to make me happy. And the longer my mind stays on those things, that, you know, what is it that the consciousness only knows two prayers, right? Illusion and truth. Those are clearly illusions. And then I wonder why I'm getting more illusion. And the only way I can really correct my mind and bring it back in is to see what I'm believing, let it go, and then let my mind return to a prayer for truth, which may just be stillness. It may not be, you know, an active thought at all. But anyway, it all kind of seems to come back around to all things are working together for God, and the purpose of God is to know self. And if we can look out from that purpose and be grounded in that, the whole world starts to look different. Our little lists look trifling, and all the arrows point inward. And it's just kind of taking the time and the space to go in, sit there, and allow the unfolding to happen from that space. So I am letting go of the mic.
Well, Anne, you started out saying that I had made that point, but I sure didn't. Woo! You hit that nail right on the head. I mean, yeah. Thank you, Anne, for sharing that. That was perfect.
You cut out. I didn't hear that last thing you said.
I said what Anne said was perfect.
Okay. Thank you, Anne.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to go on and read the next paragraph. We're on page 377. Middle of the page. Believe all things as a message from yourself, and you teach in all circumstances that you are the one you are. Talk about powerful. Believe all things as a message from yourself, and you teach in all circumstances that you are the one you are. Through teaching this lesson, you learn it. Through learning it, you grow to accept it. Through acceptance, you love it. And through love, you surrender to the truth that is all things. I mean, again, I think we're right back at that, you know, what are you giving your believing attention to? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the, what he was, Holy Spirit was saying earlier is that really we don't want to reject anything. And I think that's what you were saying, and maybe Ann was saying it too, that Jeff Foster was saying.
Yeah, because if you're not believing it, and what Ann was saying was, what it's showing you is, you know, is what you have been giving your attention to. You know, and in that way, it's a pointer back inward.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Make this thought your way of life. Put no purpose before me, because I am you, and your only purpose is true purpose. Live in purpose for everyone and all things. For your joy is their joy, because your joy is true joy. Rest within your purpose in quiet gratitude. It is through quiet gratitude that you shall awaken unto your truth. And Regina was over here earlier. We're working on various projects. And I said, I don't know what's going on with me, Regina. Because, again, well, like I was saying a while ago, and Cheryl called the ebb and flow of being a human. Because this past week, I was telling Connie before we started, I've had a hard time settling back into working, settling back since I went home to visit family. And I don't mean family had anything to do with it. What I mean is, you know, just the who knows what makes. What makes what, but just having gotten out of the routine, today I have, today, well, this week I felt a little disjunctive, a little, unconnected, disconnected, So I can see the difference in, I mean, I can see that it's on my own believing, yeah, out of sorts. Thank you, Kathy. I can see that it's just the difference in my focus. Hey, George. But it's, for example, when Ann spoke, hang on just a second. Connie, I don't know what's going on with that static there. It must not have been the air conditioner.
Sorry, Jeff.
I know. I don't know what to say. Can you use the earphones?
No, when I put the earphones on, it just goes blank. I'll try.
Oh, bless your heart. Yeah, so can you hear me, Connie? Can't hear a thing. Well, you take them right back out then, and we'll just deal with that fuzzy sound. Don't you worry about it. So when Ann spoke, all of the things that she said, I'm like, Hey, that sounds familiar. Hey, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, I remember reading that in the tips. But so thank you very much, Ann, for laying it out there for us. But see, all of that even seems somewhat disjointed, disjunctive for me. So maybe I shouldn't even be teaching today. or maybe that's what I definitely need to be doing, right? But it's this idea. How do I do this? How do I? because let me tell you, let me be clear. For me, living in the knowledge of who I am, and you can call it awakening, you can call it enlightenment. I don't care. I don't have an enlightenment goal anymore. I don't think one day I'm going to go poof, right? And oh my God, I get the whole, I get everything, and everything's all wonderful and hunky dory. I just, to me, that doesn't even make sense. But to live within the truth of to live within the full knowledge of who I am is very clearly for me. It's clear to me. I don't know if it's clear to anybody else. I don't care if it's clear to anybody else. But for me, that is what this is about. That is what this life is about. And so to have this purpose, have it very clearly, have it very strongly, and yet not be able to get beneath the tips, beneath the daily thoughts of awakening. I have to look. I wonder where the disconnect is, right? what is it that I'm leaving left undone? And that's kind of what I was trying to ask Regina about today. And I think the conclusion was kind of, some weeks you feel more connected than others on the spiritual path, you know, some or some days or some moments, you know, you just, sometimes you have more clarity than others. But I can tell you, if you ask me, would I rather know the truth of myself? Just know the truth, whatever the truth is, and not be running around believing my illusion? Would I rather have that, or these house issues resolved? I'd rather have that. I don't mind being the woman that lives in the car. Right? I just want clarity, right? I just don't want to be, the thought that's occurred to me lately is, where is it that I'm kidding myself? You know, what is it that I'm not seeing that I ought to be seeing? And, I don't have an answer to that right now.
Well, and that's just so perfect, because this italicized part says all things work together for God, and the purpose of God is to know thyself. So, I mean, you're sounds beautiful to me.
Oh, Kathy says she has a spare bedroom. I thought Ann, and Ann says she has a spare bedroom. I don't have to live in my car. Let me be clear. I don't think I'm going to be living in a car, particularly with good friends like this. I really don't. I mean, things aren't even dire, right? I just noticed that, when the realtor calls, I go, the breath goes in first, right? What's this about? What's going to happen next? You know, I'm just tired of fooling with it, I got to tell you. But I will t oh, we'll build me a tiny house. How sweet, Cheryl says. I'll let you all know if I need to take you up on those offers. Frankly, I think it's just going to be just fine, but I can see that that is a place where I like to give my believing attention. Or I don't know if I like to, but I do it out of habit. Right? That needs to be resolved. But all things work together for God, and the purpose of God is to know thyself, as Connie reminded us. Rest within your purpose in quiet gratitude. This is the last couple of sentences in this chapter. Rest within your purpose in quiet gratitude. It is through quiet gratitude that you shall awaken unto truth. And that's a big pointer. Again, you know, it's not going to be, nobody's got to come in on a spaceship and go, "You did it! Oh my God, you did it! You finally awoke!" Right? It's through this day-to-day practice of focus on purpose, a recognition of what everything is for, and gratitude. I mean, and I am grateful. You know, Gangaji did a talk once that something she said in the talk really struck me, and she's like, "How lucky are we to be in a position where we're not worrying about where our next meal's coming from. We're not worried about, you know, just not getting killed in some civil war that's going on in our country. We're not worried about disease and having clean drinking water, you know." Right? I mean, right there, just the where you start from, calls for incredible gratitude. Just the gratitude to have the luxury that some folks don't seem to have. To focus on purpose.
Yeah, to focus on the spirituality at all.
So, focus on your willingness as if it is everything because it is. Same thing for gratitude. You know, and it's funny when I do really, as I was saying, when I do really feel that substratum of causeless joy, immediately on the heels of that, and maybe it's no difference, maybe there's no demarcation at all, but immediately is gratitude. You know, just surging of joy and gratitude, kind of like is behind in its wake, you know.
That's nice.
So it's
Yeah, you know, after listening to that Jeff Foster YouTube, I had a feeling of because he talked about it, the sanctity of all things. That you know, the perfection in the perfect. It was, yeah, it was, you know, there was just a little shift there in the attitude for the perfection of all things.
Nothing needs to be any different.
Yes.
That's sweet. And Anne says to train yourself, and she's quoting from what we just read, to train yourself in godliness, be willing to rest the mind frequently. Well, and you know, it's interesting since I got back, I mean, get me a lot of good sleep. It seems like maybe that's part of it. I had to resist taking a nap before we started today, by the way. After my meeting and before this. And maybe I shouldn't be rejecting that idea. Maybe I shouldn't be resisting that. To train yourself in godliness, be willing to rest the mind frequently. Be willing. Amen. Thank you, Anne, for that reminder. Yeah, be willing to step back.
Yeah, you know, and it.
Go ahead.
You know, and when I think about resting the mind, besides maybe meditation, I also think about just being present. So, so I'm not participating in the chatter. I'm here with, you know, with my room or my cabin or.
Or the hummingbirds in my backyard.
The hummingbirds and the. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah, that's a prescription. In fact, I just interviewed Dean Slider. We're going to hear that next Sunday for our satsang, our monthly satsang. And I said, well, if you had one bit of advice, and maybe I'm telling you the end of the movie, so I hate to, spoiler alert, one bit of advice, what would it be? And I think he said, sit down and shut up. I'm like, okay, yes, sir. But yeah, it's the same advice, right? Be willing to rest the mind frequently. Yeah, it's good advice. All right, well, we've got a few minutes left. You want to start this next chapter and see how far we get?
Sure. Good.
This page 378 of NTI, 1 Timothy chapter 5. To love thyself is to love all and to accept all as you. This is to let go of personhood. For personhood says, I am me and they are them. But this statement is absolutely false. Look on your brother and your sister, whether they seem older or younger, smarter or more foolish, richer or poorer, more beautiful or more in need. Look on your brother and your sister and accept that they are you. This acceptance is the opening to the release of personhood. Yes, Connie?
No, I just think that's fabulous. And in fact, I think it was last week I was telling you that I was trying to do it when I was watching national news, how they were saying this person was so horrible. And I thought, you're just not that removed from the qualities that they're calling horrible and that makes that person so horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think we did talk about it last week because I was talking about Jeff Foster having that fella tell him he was like Hitler. And he looked in himself and he's like, can I find anywhere in me? Can I find cruelty and, you know, confusion and, yeah, you know, and that's all, you know. So I can't reject that out of hand. All of that is found within me because all of that is found within the human condition.
Yeah, and it seems to me that this might be just a real good practice that for a week or so is to realize, you know, to practice that concept of, you know, you and I are one, and what. You know, to stop trying to find the differences, but to really trying to find the sameness in everyone that I meet.
Sweet. Yeah. I appreciate it. I'll take that challenge.
Okay.
In fact, that has been coming through. you know, I'm like, what's wrong with me? Well, I haven't been journaling. But I'm still hearing this stuff because I there's something that's been coming through about this whole comparison thing, you know, and needing to explore that idea. So I think it's been done here for me. So I don't have to journal. No, I'm teasing. In this very discussion, I mean, I think this is what's being pointed to, and what you said, I think, is an excellent practice.
Okay, we'll do it, and all you folks that are listening, why don't we all try it this coming week? So we're gonna try and to overlook what we see as differences, and we're gonna try and really see the sameness with everyone we meet, and let that be their gift to you, is seeing that sameness.
Mm, that's sweet. Thank you, Connie. Yeah, and of course, you know, both Jeff Foster and Byron Katie were taking that one step further in that they were going, okay, if I applied what they said to what you just said, it would be like, well, look at her, she's so selfish. Well, where in myself can I find selfishness? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anne says she's in on your practice.
Well, and I think this exercise will get us to do that. I mean, if something pops up as a judgment, you're gonna say, now I'm looking for the sameness. Oh, I can see how I would feel and react like that. So I think we're saying pretty much the same.
Okay, good. Sean is in. Sean is gonna do it. Kathy's gonna do it. Anne's gonna do it. Well, good. We'll look next week and see how we all did it exactly the same.
It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, it's great. It's great. Eileen's in. That's wonderful. Sameness abounds. Amen. Guys, it looks like we are, let's see. I was going to say we're out of time, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about anything. Yeah, so we'll just start here. We'll start again at the top on next week. I do that. You're just like me.
That's right.
All right. Cheryl says we have 3 minutes left. I'm trying to close too soon. Close the book. But no, I think I am through with that. Connie, do you want to state your thing one more time? You feel like you've said it and everybody gets it? Because they must get it because they said they're in.
Yeah. The truth is we're all the same. We have no separate interests than our brothers. All of our problems, or any of our problems, is the problem of the seeming separation. So this week, we're going to look for the sameness in everything that our brother says to us. We'll look for ourselves in that statement, in that whatever's being said.
Thank you, Connie.
Thank you.
All right. We love you guys. We will. We're looking for the sameness rather than differences.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're going to do that this week. Thank you for joining us in that challenge. We love you, and we'll see you here again next week.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Good night, everybody.